All right, what a blessing to be here this morning in Sunday school. And I just do hope that you'll continue to pray for Brother Taylor and his family at this time. And, oh, Mrs. Taylor's here. What a blessing. Good to see you. For Brother Taylor and the rest of his family. And I'll tell you, this is a good time of year. I really like Christmas time. I get real excited starting in Thanksgiving, because it seems like right from Thanksgiving on, in fact, really even right after Halloween, and I don't even really pay too much attention to Halloween, but right after Halloween is when all the themes are available, and it seems like the decorations and so forth heading towards Thanksgiving, and then really by extension, Christmas around that time, and I like it. I really do. I really enjoy it. Enjoy this time of year. And it's like a gets me excited and really just encouraged, because no matter what the world may try to do at this time of year, it's very difficult to eradicate and to scrub the idea of Jesus and that he was born. And then, of course, like the song we sing, just a couple pages over from the ones we sang today, Born to Die. It's hard to get away from that theme and that idea about who Jesus is and what he did when he came. And I appreciate that. I'm really glad for it. And we're going to look today, though, in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 16. And I think these songs that we sang today, we're looking at 1 Samuel 16, but these songs that we had an opportunity to sing today around this time of year, it seems like we hear them over and over again. Amen? I mean, we do. Just over, and there's the songs that we have in the songbook. Of course, they're a little bit limited, you know, out of the 500 and so songs that we have in our songbook, and there's a small sampling of the Christmas songs that we may sing as a church, but I'll tell you, I would rather hear Hark the Herald Angels on loop than Baby It's Cold Outside and All I Want for Christmas, amen, than what I hear so often at Walmart that, honestly, I could care less, to be honest with you. I don't even care for those songs, and it's not because of the Me Too movement. It's because I don't like them. And I think that I like the song, like, Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Joy to the World. I'd hear it on loop, and I'd love to hear it, because there's so many different ways that I've heard it and that I've enjoyed it. I've heard Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Joy to the World, and O Come Emmanuel. I'll take it. I'll take it. Put it on loop for me, and I'm just fine. And we're going to look here at the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 16, and we'll be reading a few verses here. I stand up here, and today there's a little bit less space, but I don't plan on running or doing anything anyways. But this is always something that you see it, and it does something for you. It's like like when you walk into the house and something good is cooking, you can start to smell it, and you're excited about what's about to happen. Amen? And so you up here, you look here, you walk into church, and you see this, and you say, good, it's a treat. Amen? And then you look over here. Now, if you're on that side, you might not have seen it if you walked in that door, but there's a guitar here. And that's not Brother Taylor's guitar. If you've seen it enough, that's Brother Nichols' guitar. So to me, that's what it does to me. To some of you that may get excited about when you go in the house and you smell something good, like your favorite dish, and you're getting excited about it a little bit, looking forward to it, that's kind of how I feel when I see this in here. Are you hearing me? That's kind of how I feel when I see this in here. I mean, everything that happens in here pretty much I enjoy, but when I see things like this, this is a blessing, because you got a young lady that's going to be doing a song for us, and then we got this, Brother Nichols. That means, but most likely, Brother Nichols is going to be singing. So that's a blessing, and that's what I like. What it does for me too, right around, as I said, as soon as I start to see Thanksgiving things and Christmas decorations pop up, them starting to unbox them at Walmart or at Walgreens, I start to get excited because I know something good is about to happen. Amen. So we're going to look here at the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in verse 16 gives us the account of Samuel anointing David, and the story about God revealing the choice of David as the king of Israel. And this is not necessarily a what we would think of as a Christmas-themed an account here, but I believe that there are many parallels between Samuel as a wise man and the wise men that we read about in the book of Matthew in chapter 2. And because of these parallels, I'll be talking about those as well right here. I don't know that Samuel was the first wise man. I wouldn't count him as the very first man that had wisdom, but he's a good type, a good parallel for those wise men that would come to see Jesus those many years ago. Bible says right here in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 16, and starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And I'm going to continue here in just a moment, but it's something very important for us to take note of, that when you read in the Bible, and that you see here what it says here in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 16 and verse 1, where the Lord gives the account in his word that when he wanted this to be done in particular, this anointing of David to be done, that the Bible shows us that it was the Lord that spake to Samuel. And it's very important, and it really puts it in bold print. It tells us to pay attention to this, although all of the Bible we should pay attention anytime that the Lord gives us a message, but the Lord did not always send the message the same way. There are times that God would use an animal to give his message, as he did to Balaam. The Bible tells us, Jesus was very clear, that he said that if it was necessary, that he would have the rocks cry out when he was entering into Jerusalem. The Bible gives us, and sometimes he simply gives us his word, Luke chapter 16, where the rich man that had passed away was asking that somebody would be sent from the dead, that Lazarus would be sent from the dead to send his brothers to give him the message, but that he was given instruction that they have the law of God, they have the law and the prophets, let them hear them. So God does not always deliver his message the same way. Sometimes he used prophets, and he used Samuel, for instance, as a prophet of God to give the message of God as well. And there were times, as he did with Lot, that he would send even angels in order to give the message. But we see here in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 16 that what God was showing, the importance of the message, is that he said that he told him himself, that he was giving Samuel the message himself of what Samuel was to do, and that was to go and to fill thine horn with oil and to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, that he said to Samuel here. And that part of his message was, in fact, the beginning of his message was, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" That here he was, there was no doubt that the Lord understood and recognized that in the life of Samuel, that Samuel was at a time of discouragement. Really, that's about it. That's the only way really to say this. And I'm not saying he was ready to quit and the rest of it. I don't know what his situation was as far as his mental state at that time. But I do know this, that there was at least some measure of discouragement, because the Lord had told him, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" In other words, you've mourned for him long enough. There was a time of mourning that was necessary for Saul's failure, but there is a time for you to stop. Are you hearing me? That's what he was giving him here. There's a time for mourning, but there's also a time to understand that you've got to get on with business. You've got to get on with the business that I've given you. And the Bible makes it very clear that it was the Lord that spoke to Samuel. That when you look at your Bible here, it's your King James Bible, that it's a capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, that it was the Lord that spoke to Samuel here which is the translator's way of showing us that the underlying word there is very clear, that it's not ambiguous in any way, that it's Jehovah God. Are you hearing me? That's what we're talking about. That he says it is the Lord and who he is, the self-existing one that needs no other. It's not that the Lord was speaking unto Samuel, because it's like the Lord was desperate for servants and desperate for workers. The Lord's not desperate. Now, I'm desperate for workers. I need all the workers we can get around in the Lord's work. I get, think we need more people serving the Lord. That's how I'll get sometimes. But let me tell you this about the Lord. He's not desperate. My service for him does not add anything to him, and my disobedience takes nothing away from him. He'll be just fine. But he allows us to be a part of his work because it's a blessing to us, and it can be a blessing to many others as well. He's going to do just fine. But he had chosen at this time to show himself in a very clear way to Samuel, that Samuel, the one that's talking to you, that I elevated it above another prophet giving a message to a prophet. And there's many times that would be done, that a prophet would be sent even to give the message to another prophet or a prophet to a king. But he said, the message that I'm giving to you, that's from me myself. And I want you to hear this. It's time for you to get up, fill your horn with oil. It may be dry from not being used for a little while. And you may even feel like you don't want to do it again. But it is time to rise up and do the work that I have. And he shows them that here in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 16 of the importance of it. And I want to point out just a few things here this morning concerning the wisdom of Samuel, the wisdom that God was looking to show him, that I believe he learned from all of this. And I believe wisdom is very important. When you look at the Bible, the Bible shows us time and time again that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, showing us here that wisdom is actually something that's very important to have. Amen? And he learned some things here. Here's some things that made Samuel a wise man. Let me say first of all that wisdom is getting over your past failures. We see this in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, that the Bible tells us very clear here that the Lord is giving the word to Samuel. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. Fill thine horn with oil and go. And the truth is sometimes when we do have failures, we do get stuck. We really do. We get stuck and think that because we've had a failure in the past, that sometimes it's difficult to get back on that horse again and get moving. Amen? That's just the reality of life. You do something in some way that has your name attached to it, that has you who you are attached to it. You're very leery then in the past of doing something again that would have your name to attach to it. I sometimes joke with people and I tell them, I do not put my stamp of approval on nothing. Well, why? Because I think in the past I might have had, something happen. I put my stamp of approval on something and someone says, they did whatever, went to somewhere or some park or some place, and they said, boy, that place was terrible. And it's after that you don't want to ever recommend anything, right? Or recommend a person. I called so-and-so and they were awful. It's like, it gets you to the point where you don't want to put your stamp of approval on anything. You don't want to get involved in anything because you don't want your name attached to something that will then later on be attached to failure. And that's about where Samuel was at this time, that Samuel, spiritually speaking, that his name, his identity was attached to this man, Saul, who obviously, we have the whole story, of course, before us, and we see what happened with Saul, and he was attached then, his identity, who he was, he felt like he was attached to who Saul was in his failures, and now by extension, they were attached to him. And the Bible tells us what he was doing at this time, that he was mourning over it. And many times that's what happens. Now that's not what happened. That's not what happened with Saul, with Samuel. But the truth is, sometimes people have a pity party. Sometimes people they think of discouragement, of suffering. But the reality is, we must understand that in our lives, that God, if God is not through with us, and the reality is he was not done with Samuel by any means, that we've got to get up as well and start doing what we need to do for the Lord. Amen? We've got to get up and start doing what you do for the Lord. Let me say secondly, That wisdom is overcoming your fears and worries. Let's continue reading here. The Bible says, he says, go fill your horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided me a king among his sons. Verse 2, the Bible says, and Samuel said, how can I go? Now, here it is, and he points out a few reasons that he was questioning why he should go. He said, first of all, if Saul hear it, he will kill me. Really, there's two ideas here, that he had some type of fear of Saul. Now, the reality was he was God's man. He was a man that God had chosen to do his work. And if God tells you to do something, I mean, really, you should have no fear. But the human response is, many times we will. And that's what he did. You know, we all know that soul winning is good. Amen? Amen? Okay, yeah, it's good. Yeah, so soul winning is a good thing to do, to go out and witness to people. But it's sometimes is somewhat sad that we as God's people, we get fearful of telling people about the things of the Lord. It's just a reality of life. I've been doing this thing long enough. I've been saved since I was 9. I've been witnessing since I was 12. And there are many times that unnecessarily that I'd be afraid to talk to somebody, which if once I did talk to them, though, I thought, that's ridiculous. I shouldn't have been scared like that. You know, in fact, they were happy. Many times I got encouraged after doing it. I always like the attitude of Brother Garraway many times, how he is. You know, and I really do hope that everyone here that you would pray for Brother Garraway at this time through his sickness. But he's always been a real big blessing to me. But we'll be out soul winning at Fiesta, and it'll be exciting. He said, give me the meanest, the ugliest one, the scariest one, send them to me. Talks like that. And he says, send them to me. You know, he just tries to have some fun when we're out there. But it is. I've seen it. I've been there. You know, you get in, you go somewhere and you see a crowd of some people that are a little bit rough. Maybe if you're a little bit younger or a little bit more timid, you think, I really don't want to talk to those people. I'm a little bit apprehensive to do it. But the fear is unfounded. Here we are. We're talking to somebody or talking about somebody in the person of Samuel that understood what it was to speak to and to hear from the very God of heaven. I'm telling you, there was no doubt about it, that he knew that he was dealing with, he was hearing from, and he was speaking to the very God of heaven, and yet he somehow found himself in a situation that he was a little bit apprehensive to speak to a king. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? And you know, in our lives as well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense knowing that the mandate that God has given unto us to go into all the world to preach the gospel, there shouldn't be anyone we should be afraid to speak to. There shouldn't be anything that we should be afraid of to do within his name, but there's something about it inside of us that needs to be overcome to overcome that fear. He was a wise man in that he learned to overcome the fears and worries that he had. We see this in verse 2. He said, if Saul hear, so he was first of all worried that he would even hear it. And the reality is, and if you're concerned whether it's going to get back to somebody, yes, it's going to get back to somebody. Go ahead and count on it. Amen. I learned a long time ago, I said, if you don't want anyone to know, honestly, it might be best not to tell anybody, especially if it's something bad. Somebody says, I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want you to tell anybody. Well, then don't tell me. Okay, because this is, you're probably going to tell me something bad. And I'm definitely not going to keep that with me. And so you want to do something about that. But it was going to get back to Saul. It's not a matter about if it was going to get back to Saul, about Samuel and about the Lord dealing with him and about what he was going to do. You might as well have counted it down. It was going to get to it. And he says, he will kill me. He had an unfounded fear that somehow Saul, even though he was king, had ultimate power over whether Samuel died or not. The reality is the ultimate power over whether Samuel was going to die or not was the Lord. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean I need to tempt God. Believe me, I'm not going to tempt God in any way. I don't want to do that. But if I know it's what God wants me to do, I can be confident that I should not have unfounded fears that are going to make me look silly if I don't just obey the Lord, if I'm not just right with Him and say, I'm going to do what I need to do. So wisdom overcoming fears and overcoming worries. And we see this in the Bible tells us here in verse 2. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, I like that, how it reiterates. It just doesn't use, the Bible doesn't give us just a pronoun. It says, to let you know exactly who's talking about it, there's no confusion. that there's no ambiguity. It's the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He knew exactly who was talking to him, that the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. So wisdom is overcoming your fears and worries. Let me say thirdly, wisdom is letting God show you what to do. We see this in verse 3. And the Bible tells us, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto him whom I name unto thee. Now here it is, a very interesting. Here Saul is, Samuel is an older man here, a very capable adult. And yet the Lord is dealing with him in such a way that's very interesting. That first of all, he tells him to go fill his horn with oil, and that I have someone among the sons of Jesse that I want you to anoint. Now, it would have been very simple. It would not have been difficult at all for the Lord to say exactly what to do, and that I want you to make sure that David is there, because he is the one that's going to be anointed. The Lord could have done that, but the Lord didn't. The Lord led him in steps. He said, I want you to get over there, and then I will show you later on. You know, because what happens is so many times what we are, you know, we want to, he was already questioning everything that the Lord was doing with him as it was, but the Lord reveals too much to us, and we want to make excuses and take longer for what the Lord wants us to do than if we would have simply obeyed him at the beginning. Amen? That's about how it happens. And sometimes the reason is the Lord is working on other people as well in the meantime, that he does not want you to mess up his working with them maybe. That's how it happens. You know, I'm glad that the Lord, you know, takes us in steps. He does that for us. Sometimes he says, you know, where you need to be. I'm not going to tell you everything that's going to be involved there, but this is the direction that I want you to go. And when it's necessary, I will reveal unto you the details you need. I mean, so kind of like kids, you know, with little kids, you know, hopefully they learn after a little bit, oh, where we're going, where are we going? Okay, well, we're going to go to the store. Okay, well, where are we going after that? And then what are we going to do? And as a parent, I understand sometimes it gets a little bit annoying, amen? It's like, wherever I go, you're going to go. You'll be fine, trust me. I'll make sure you're okay. Well, so we're going to get home eventually. You're going to get back to your place eventually. Just go along for the ride. That's what I have to say many times. Just go enjoy the ride. Don't worry about the next step all the time. And you know, I'm glad that the times that I've been able to just be just have faith and trust in the Lord to say, you know what, Lord? Okay, I'm going along for the ride. I don't have to know everything. I have to see it all. I'm just going to trust you. Just going to trust you. You know, where are we going next? Okay, well, what are we going to do there? And where are we going after that? Just go along for the ride. Amen. Sometimes that's what we get. Now, if I'm going to go out camping or something, let me know before you take me out there in the middle of nowhere. I want to prepare a little bit. Amen. But the Lord's smart enough in order to do that to us. He'll help us to prepare for the journey if we're wise enough. He did that with Samuel. He said, fill thine horn with oil, for I have someone for you to anoint. I'm not going to tell you who. You don't need to know that yet. But you do need to be prepared and have your horn with oil, because I have a job for you to do. So wisdom is letting God show you what to do. Let me make a few statements. Let me say the will of God is best. Let God guide. He is choosing the right king. Wisdom is obeying God. And Samuel did not protest. He did what God said. He did what God said, you know. I mean, he had already had a little bit of a conversation enough with the Lord to know, you know, I'm being, you know, a little bit like I shouldn't be. I should just be honest before the Lord and let him lead me as we go. So, wisdom is letting God show you what to do. Let me say, fourthly, what we have here, that wisdom is not looking on the outward, but to have discernment. Here it is right here. We see this as we continue on. The Bible tells us in verse 4, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, then when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So he learned the importance of not looking on the outward appearance, the reality of the situation that he was in up to this time in his life. Saul was fairly impressive, to be honest. Physically speaking, Saul was impressive. And he already, hopefully, you know, we thought that he would have learned from that. But as Eliab passed by, he said, you know, surely this is the Lord's anointed. He was still in that type of mindset that it was a look on the outward appearance. But the Lord taught him a very important message that the Lord obviously has given to us and recorded it in his word, in our King James Bible, that the Lord looketh not on the outward appearance. He's not fooled by that. He understands, well, more importantly, that what's in the heart, that although these were all sons of Jesse, they were all good, capable young men, but there was someone that was something special. He said, I've got someone special here that I have for my use, for my purposes, that I need, and do not be fooled by the outward appearance alone, that I have something greater. So what he learned from this and became a wise man in the area of wisdom is not looking on the outward appearance. You know, there's a few things before I really get into the last things that I want to leave with you here this morning, is that these similarities between Samuel and the wise men, is that, first of all, is that they both went to go see a king. Amen? Both the wise men and Samuel were going to see someone who is a king. Let me say, secondly, both cities feared their arrival. You realize that? That's what Herod was. Herod was fearing his arrival, that there's someone else that was going to be in competition to his to what he was doing. And they both brought gifts. Both were warned of the reigning king. Both the wise men were warned of Herod, and also Samuel was warned of Saul. So let me get really to the message here this morning, what I want to leave God's people with. Let me say, first of all, is wisdom is letting God choose. Don't object to God's choices. Though the Bible shows us and gives us very clearly here in verse 12, is that David was a healthy young man, or as the Bible uses the word here, a ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. See, wisdom is letting God choose. And concerning Israel and concerning even us, that I sure am glad and thankful and appreciative that that Samuel let God choose. Amen? He really did. And David has been a good source of inspiration for many of us. We learned about David when we were younger. The Lord has used his exploits in order to encourage us. Growing up, if you spent any amount of time in Sunday school, you were encouraged by David's exploits. You were given, hopefully, a little bit of caution as well, according to his failures, and the Lord allowed him to be used because he was a man that not only he did fail, as all of us are going to fail, but he showed us the proper way to react in our failures, to look for to look for forgiveness from the Lord and try to make things right, and how in despite of his failures, that he still was able to accomplish something very important for the honor and glory of the Lord. But the wisdom is letting God choose. And let me say a few things about that, about letting God choose. And according with Samuel and his choosing David. Let me say, first of all, that the choice is ours. You realize the whole reason that we call things choices is because those choices are ours to make. You know, we can choose this or that. You know, as a young person, even as an adult, I like having choices. Amen? You know, I like actually really being able to say, you know, I can either have this or I can have this. Amen? I can use 9mm or shoot 45 at the range. Amen? I like choices. I like choices. So you see, but the reality is in life we have choices. And the Lord allows us to have choices. Samuel had a choice here. He could have disobeyed God. Now he didn't. The Lord knew he wouldn't. We know he didn't because we've got it down already in the Word. But in his own heart and mind, he had a choice here to make. Was he going to follow through with obeying God and doing what God would have him to do, or was he going to reject it? Salvation is a choice. Salvation, we either choose to be saved or we reject to be saved. Now God's hope is for, and what the Bible says in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What God wants for each and every person is to be saved. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that concerning the Lord, who would have all to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to be saved, but ultimately the choice is ours. Many times it's very strange, but those that would be against God, either those that are just anti-God or atheist or whatever, they said, you know, if God is who he is, why would he create people with the capacity to actually choose evil? Because God did not create robots. That is how we plan to do. Now he puts things within our life. He put circumstances that would help us to make those right choices, getting us to church, putting us in fellowship or in contact with people who would give us the gospel. The times like Christmas where you can't escape it, where it makes you look towards him. Or as the book of Psalm 19 tells us, that the heavens declare the glory of God, that God gives us nature all around us to tell us that there is a God. But we need the Word of God in order to trust Him. That it says that it's the Word of God that will that is perfect, converting the soul. But the reality is we have an opportunity all around us, that God gives us an opportunity to make the right choice. But ultimately, the choice is still ours. You realize that? That God does that. To me, that's amazing, and how that all comes together. The ability of us to choose, and yet the sovereignty of God and how God's purposes still work out, that's amazing to us. But the choices are still ours. This choice was still Samuel's to make. You realize that? He did make the right choice, but the choice was his. Let me say secondly, not only the choice is ours, but right choices are possible. You know, so often that we live in a world that people like to lean towards, and part of it, I'm sure, that's part of our sinful nature, is that somehow we get the idea is that the right choices, they just cannot be made. And it's sad that people are like that. But I am here to tell you very clearly here is that right choices can be made. Amen? They can be made. That God gives us the capacity, that those things will help to prevent us from ultimate destruction, those things that would keep us from being able to serve the Lord and honor Him as we can, that we can make right choices. Now, as sinners, not every single choice that we make in our life is going to be the right one. Amen. You know, we're going to make wrong choices in our lives. But right choices are still on the table as well. There is a very real possibility. There's a potential there for us to make right choices. Let me say thirdly, that concerning our choices, that even though the choice is ours and right choices are possible, our choices have consequences. See, I can make what choices I make, but I cannot choose what my consequences are. I can't. You know, I can't do that. If I make a wrong choice, I will have wrong consequences. Amen. You make a wrong choice, you're going to have a wrong consequence, no matter what. You cannot make a right choice and then somehow think that my right choice is going to end up that it's going to have a good consequence. But also to know this, that good choices will always bring good consequences. It's going to be, now it may not sometimes in our own estimation for the short term, we may have persecution, but in the long term it will matter for eternal glory unto the Lord that those choices will be right. It may make things a little bit more difficult sometimes. It may put us in a place of danger and vulnerability, but right choices bring right consequences. We see this in the life of Samuel. Samuel made the right choice, and because of that, there were times in his life that he did make some wrong choices, but according to this one, he made the right choice and it had the right consequence that he chose God's way, and because of that, that God was honored and glorified through it. Let me say sixthly, is that wisdom is learning to wait. Do not be in a rush. See, it would be 7 years before Saul's death and another 7 years as king over Judah before the Lord would anoint him king in Hebron. So he had a long wait between the actual anointing and when he was truly king in Hebron, when he was made king in Hebron. So sometimes you got to wait. I mean, you know, in our lives, many times we don't like that. You know, people, they used to watch TV where they had to sit through commercials. You couldn't even speed through them. You realize that? Some young people, you know, there's actually, you had to actually sit through commercials at one time if you want to finish watching the basketball game or the football game. There was no way around it. You couldn't even record it or anything. And later on, you couldn't see the highlights on YouTube. You couldn't. You know, you couldn't dial it up on Netflix and have what you wanted. You had to sit through all that stuff. But you see, in life, because of the access of convenience that all of us have, is that we think that somehow that we want everything now. But I'm finding a little bit older I get as well that I have to deal with older people. They always want things now also. So it's not just the young people. It's like they tell you, it's like, you know, I got to get this stuff together. Please be patient with me. You know, I got to do it. And but either way, all of us are impatient. And I'm finding that the older I get, I want it done because I want something to accomplish or to get it done. Because I realize, even though I'm not even that old, I'm only 46, okay? But I understand my time is getting shorter all the time. It's not getting longer. I'm not gonna lengthen my life any. So you got to understand that we've got to have patience that honors God. We've got to do that, to be patient with the Lord. Now, we may or may not be patient with other people, but you've got to be patient with God. God knows what He's doing, and it would be many years, even as we saw this. You know, I don't know, but if I was Jesse, you know, sometimes you put yourself in their position. I was Jesse. Here it is. There at my home, here's as Samuel comes. We're all excited, getting celebration. This is wonderful here. My son's going to be king. Samuel anointed him. And then 7 years, 15 years. I thought he was going to be king over all Israel. What's going on here? He passed away, you know, I'm sure sometime in between there even, you know, later on. What happened? You know, we start to think those things. But we must be patient with God. Wisdom is learning to wait. And there's one passage of Scripture that's been a very helpful to me over and over again. It's ministered unto me, and I'm going to finish here in the book of Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5, how the Bible tells us how we can learn this patience. And it's really helped me out. Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5, in verse 1, what Brother Paul shares with us here, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he's telling us that that's what we have right now, that we can rest in that, we can have comfort in that, is that it's not something we need to wait for, it's not something we're seeking for, but our peace we have is right now. He's laying an important foundation for what he's about to say. He said, you really need to get this down because there's something else that I'm about to teach you. I'm about to give some instruction your way about really having waiting on God. Because the Bible tells us here, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice and hope in rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now that's what Brother Paul said, how it ought to be. That's not how it is necessarily all the time, because we don't always glory in tribulations. Amen. We don't always find it a source of growth and of help and really of being unashamed of it. To have something be glory or be glorious, it means we're not ashamed of it. Okay? You know, as a child of God, there have been many times in my life as I was going through difficult things, I didn't really want to let anyone know about it. Amen? Because I didn't want people to think anything less of my God. But Paul says we need to glory in tribulations. You need to learn from that and be able to share with it other times. I went through some rough places, but let me tell you how God blessed. Amen? He says we glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. How is it? What is the source? What is the way that we're able to find glory in tribulations? It's because the Bible tells us here, it is through tribulations that we will learn patience. That's the whole way we're going to, if you're going to experience true godly patience in your life, you must go through some tribulation. You must go through some difficulty. That the Bible says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Because it is patience is actually what gives us the experience to be able to say later on that God is good and He can be trusted. My friend, if everything was always great, if everything was always good, and I only looked upon what my own efforts were able to accomplish, then I would have no real solid experience to be able to say, God will see you through this. But if I go myself through some difficult times, if I go through some tribulation, and I see God work in wonderful ways, that I can with all assurance tell someone else, God can be trusted. I've experienced myself, and I have that experience, and He can be trusted. Now, you may not see it right now, friend. You may not see it right now, brother. You may not see it right now, sister. But God can be trusted. Because tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Whereas the tribulation will work that patience, and patience will give us a good experience to be able to trust in God. It gives us hope for the future to tell us that the same way that God has helped us get through difficult times in the past, what hope says, even though I'm going through something right now I've never experienced before, that I've never had something of this difficulty, I've never had something of this depth of sorrow and possible grief, but Lord, because I've seen you work in the past, I trust that you will also work in the future. That's what hope is. And the Bible tells us this in a patient's hope. I'm sorry, experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That what it does for us, it tells us that even though we may go through difficult things, and even though it may be something that may be a possible or potential source of us in our own in our own human thinking, that somehow that God would be thought less of because we're going through it. But what experience does and what hope does for us, it tells us this, that I am not ashamed of what God is allowing me to go through, because He can be trusted and I will get through it on the other side just fine. If not on this side of heaven, it definitely on the other side, and it will have been worth it. Any difficulties that I've kept my chin up, that I've trusted in the Lord, that I've not forsaken my God through all of it, I will be glad that I did it. Because the Bible tells us it's hope that makes not ashamed. It is that biblical hope that we have, that God is in control, that even though that I, as one of God's people, may even be going through some difficult thing that is a potential source of me thinking that the people might think something less of my God because me as a child of God, I'm going through it, that I can say, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed. Do not think I'm not bitter against God. And I don't want you to be bitter against God on my behalf. Amen. You see, that happens too. That happens too, even though we may not be bitter against God because of the difficulties we may be going through, that we must be the wise Christian says this, you're not going to be bitter against it either. You need to rejoice with me. Don't worry, God is going to see me through this, and I'm going to be just fine on the other side, and I'm going to be shouting glory. I'm going to be shouting glory. So don't get bitter on my behalf. And don't let anyone else that may hear about it, if you talk to anyone that's heard about this, don't worry. God and me are just fine. We're going to be just fine. Don't get bitter. I'm not bitter. You don't get bitter. And anyone that may have heard about my difficulty, I'm not ashamed of it. Don't let them get bitter either, because I'm still trusting my God. I know God has a plan, that God has a purpose in this, and He can be trusted. That God is just as faithful as He's ever been, and He's going to continue to be faithful in the future. I'm going to trust Him. And I believe that's wisdom right there. That's what wisdom shows us. That wisdom shows us that we can trust God. We can have patience for what God does for us. It is learning to wait. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for today. We thank you for your blessings. We ask that you would help us, that you would work in our lives to be wise for the future. In your precious name we ask it. Amen. All right, God bless you. We got some coffee and some...